I'm Jorgen Sundberg, and you're listening to Social Media Know-How, brought to you by SM London Live, our conference on the 11th of November. Early bird tickets are available now at socialmedialondon.co.uk. Now, how on earth can you use Periscope for employee branding? Let's find out. Okay, so I'm here with Lars Schmidt, who is the founder of Amplify Talent, and he's also an employer brand strategist for Hootsuite. And his Twitter bio reads that he's not a Viking. hi there, Lars.
Hey, Jorgen. It's great to connect with you again.
Great to speak to you again. Yeah, we haven't spoken for, is it about 4 years? We did an online interview.
Yeah, you know, I think it was, it's probably been 4.5, and a fun trivia, your podcast, your show was actually the first one I'd ever done.
Oh, was it?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't actually a podcast, it was just a YouTube video interview.
That's right, yeah, we had video, we had the webcams going, that was back before webcams were integrated into everything, so I actually had a USB plug-in in my laptop back at NPR, so...
Yeah, good times. So, yeah, that's when you were at NPR, and now obviously you've set up Amplify Talent, and you're consulting with Hootsuite and other clients. Let me just ask you first, you're not a Viking. What have you got against Scandinavians, Lars?
You know, full disclosure, I love Vikings. Vikings are amazing. But I put that in there as a joke because I had, you know, a lot of people, especially in the States, Lars is not as common of a name. My father immigrated from Germany, and so... I was named after his brother, who was also Lars. And, you know, so I was kind of first generation American, and a lot of friends kind of growing up, because Lars was a name that they didn't quite see as often. Most people, they have this image of what a Lars is, and it's a big Norse, you know, long blonde hair guy. And that's not me. So I figure, why not put a little disclaimer in there and have some fun with it? But yeah, that's no knock on Vikings. Vikings are great. That's just, you know, I don't have the semblance of a Viking.
Okay. Thanks for straightening that out. Right. So I wanted to talk to you about this, Periscope, social HR campaign, which you did with Hootsuite. So my first question is, kind of looks at the whole, setup. What is Hootsuite open source HR, first of all?
Yeah, so open source HR, what we're kind of calling Hoot HROS, if you want to put that in hashtag form, was really it was a campaign that we put together. Ambrosia Vertesi, Hootsuite's VP of Talent, is a good friend, and she's a person who brought me in. And you know, her and I have a very similar ethos around the world of work, and kind of particularly around social HR and trying to share and help people understand some of the value and advantages of bringing social into your HR operations. And so, really, kind of being a leader in social HR is one of Hootsuite's talent group's objectives, so that they want to really be able to lead the way, but also show people the way. So it's one thing to lead the way; it's another to do that and bring everybody along with you. And that's really been ingrained in their culture, including their organizational culture, for years. So when I came in, you know, we started having a conversation around how we might bring the idea of open source inside of HR. And ultimately, where we landed is this concept of open source HR. And the idea is we want to start kind of working out loud on some of the projects that we're doing, where really the whole HR team is empowered to share some of the things that they're working on, what they're learning, where they're finding inspiration. And what we'll also be doing is we're going to be creating a series of case studies that will really go into a lot of detail on particular HR projects or recruiting projects that we've developed within Hootsuite, things like Follow the Sun that you had mentioned, but you know, beyond just saying, hey, here's a thing we did, and really breaking it down to say things like, here's where the idea came from, here's how we pitched it internally, these are what the expected outcomes are, this is how we executed it, this is what the actual outcomes were, and then ultimately, even here's what we got wrong. Because we wanna really be open about that. I think especially around social HR, you know, there's a degree of risk taking that I think takes place which is a good thing, but it also means you are going to fail and you are going to get some things wrong. And, you know, we think it's important to be able to share that too. So it's not all unicorns and roses. You're able to say, yeah, you know, we thought this was going to be how this would turn out. And, some of these things were right, but actually some of these things were wrong. And so that's going to be a key part of each case study we do.
Yeah. So in a way you're showcasing best practice, or at least you're testing it out to inspire Hootsuite's clients, perhaps.
Yeah, I think the clients and then the HR community as a whole. And I guess, hearing you say best practice, I think a quote Bill Borman uses all the time is test practice, not best practice, which I think particularly when you're kind of at the leading edge of trying to do some things that haven't been done before and experiment in certain ways, it takes a while of a track record of success before I think things really get to become best practice. Much of what we're doing in the space is tends to be test practice because there isn't really a precedent. You're just trying to kind of figure out. You have a hunch. You're not blindly saying let's just do this. You have a feeling what the outcome may be, but until you actually do it, there's no way to really know.
Yeah, makes sense. And so you're calling this. Social HR. Can you tell me what the difference is between social HR and social recruiting?
Yeah, I think to me, social recruiting is kind of a subset of social HR. And even within recruiting, you've got different subsets. You have social sourcing, which is kind of how you're using social media to find talent. You have employer branding, which, employer branding, one might argue kind of sits either in recruiting or in HR, so that could kind of be linked to either. And I think social HR is really the idea of having your entire team kind of being open to sharing on HR and sharing best practices and even interacting within the organization. And I think one of the things that's really unique about Hootsuite's HR team, and this is a testament to Ambrosia's leadership within that group, is HR within Hootsuite is actually looked at as a innovation driving function within the team. It's very kind of well established and well respected as one of the leading teams that takes risks and tries new things. I haven't really encountered that in many organizations where HR has that rep, that earned rep of being kind of a den of innovation within an organization, particularly like Hootsuite. And so that's, Ambrosia and her team have really done a tremendous job, I think, of positioning by taking risks, by really embracing social HR, and also getting the rest of the organization to kind of adopt some of their approaches that I think you don't typically find.
Great. So let's get into this operation Follow the Sun. And what was it? Yeah. And what was it? Where'd you get the name from?
Yeah. So the story of Follow the Sun started at South by Southwest. Ambrosia and I were at Craig Fisher's TalentNet conference, and we were having a conversation. Meerkat had just launched, and we were using Meerkat to live stream a live podcast that we were doing. And we were talking about the employer branding kind of possibilities of live streaming in general. And so about a few weeks later, Periscope came out. And that was right around the time that I came on to Hootsuite. And so Ambrosia and I were having conversation around how we could use Periscope to really convey the global scope of Hootsuite. We were operating in 9 different offices. We wanted to make sure that we could help, prospects get a sense of that global footprint. And then also the unique culture within Hootsuite. We thought live streaming would be an interesting way to do that. And so the idea of Follow the Sun, actually Ambrosia had the great name for that. The idea was we wanted to start in Singapore and actually work our way east around the globe throughout the day, showcasing a different office every hour on the hour. So we started in Singapore. We moved to Bucharest, moved to London, to Boston, to Sao Paulo, all the way over to the headquarters, actually to the headquarters in Vancouver. And kind of the idea of Follow the Sun was we wanted to literally follow the sun as it turned around, the earth, using that same approach to showcase different offices and some of our peeps from office to office throughout the day.
And what were the objectives with this operation?
Yeah, I think it was something that was still fairly, new. Obviously, Periscope had just come out, so we wanted to develop some proficiency in Periscope. You know, we wanted to both, from a branding standpoint, but also we wanted to get some of the team involved in using it. We wanted, from an employer branding standpoint, we wanted to raise awareness for our global operations and also kind of some of the unique culture that we have and obviously showcasing our talent within some of the offices around the world. And I think outside of that, we really wanted to kind of make people, get people to start understanding that we're going to start using the Hootsuite Life channel on Periscope to do these kind of things. And other than that, I mean, really not screw up. We kind of listed that as an actual outcome. We were really hoping we weren't going to screw up. But there was no, again, this hadn't been done before. I think this is actually the first branding campaign that ever happened on Periscope, but particularly of a global nature like this. And so it was a pretty complex operation with lots of different people using it. We used LastPass to actually allow all of the broadcasters to log into Periscope using the Hootsuite Life account. So, we're doing this complex global choreographed effort with people who many times had not used Periscope before, also using an account that wasn't their own and kind of getting access to that through LastPass. So there was a lot that could have gone wrong, but I think we're pretty pleased that that went relatively smoothly.
And so you started talking about Meerkat, which was all the rage for a while until I think Twitter closed down the API. And yeah. Then did you then switch straight away to Periscope, or did you?
Yeah. We never really activated. So at least within Hootsuite, we never really activated anything on Meerkat. I think when both came out, the organization kind of got together and we decided that, Periscope would be something that we would be focusing our efforts on. Meerkat, surprisingly, actually, they weathered that storm, in terms of the API being cut off fairly well. I think they've tried to establish more of a niche with, musicians and live music. So I know Madonna debuted one of her new tracks on Meerkat. Meerkat's demise is not quite there yet, but I think, organizationally, we wanted to, thought it'd be make more sense and be easier for our community to follow along with us if we went with one and focused on that, and that was Periscope.
Okay, great. And so when you did this, global campaign, how many people were holding a phone and, Periscoping?
So there were 9 people. So every office had one point person that was actually the broadcaster. And in most offices outside of Singapore, which was already kind of late in the evening there where we started, everybody else was actually in an office and kind of walking around that office. So it was able, viewers were actually able to get a physical look at the office space, see some of the people, even though there's one broadcaster, many times there'd be other people who would kind of come into play and answer questions from the audience. What they did, the format was kind of like an AMA on Reddit. So the broadcaster would be taking people around, but they'd also be answering questions coming in on Periscope kind of as the tour was taking place.
Interesting. And in terms of results, can you share what you achieved?
Yeah, we had kind of looking across all the broadcasts, we had over 5,000 viewers of the live broadcast, which was pretty good. It's hard to tell, is that a lot? Is that a little? We had that broken down actually by office. One of the things I mentioned when you asked about the Hootsuite open source HR, we actually did our first case study was actually on this Follow the Sun campaign. So your listeners can go and just basically Google Hoot HROS Follow the Sun case study, and you'll be taken to the Hootsuite blog, and you'll see a post where we actually broke down all of the stats and metrics around the campaign. You can also go to Hootsuite's SlideShare channel to find that. But we had over 5,000 viewers. If you're familiar with Periscope, you can heart something if you like it. So if you tap the screen, it pops a little heart up. We had over 11,000 hearts across the 9 broadcasts. Our Periscope Hootsuite Life channel gained about 230 followers. Not much lift on Twitter, on the Hootsuite Life account on Twitter. We thought we'd get a little bit more. And we also saw a slight lift in career site visits and applications immediately after the broadcast.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, actually, I will put I'll actually embed this the slideshare in the show notes as well.
Okay.
It's interesting you say that because we actually do meerkats, not meerkats. We do Periscope sessions here at Link Humans on a Friday afternoon. Just we call it Cider Friday, and we've already
had
two people applying for jobs just from us having a bottle of cider. So I think. Just showcasing people and the culture behind the brand is really powerful.
I think, what is interesting about, apps like Meerkat and Periscope, I mean, live broadcasting isn't new. You know, there were apps that, SocialCam and lots of other apps that allowed you to do that even years ago. But I think the market wasn't necessarily ready for them then, where the timing, I think, is right now, where you're starting to see broader adoption. And it's so, because it's so easy to just share a live broadcast. When Periscope came out, I was reading an interview with one of their founders, and somebody was asking him about kind of what Periscope is, and he said it's not a live broadcast tool, it's a teleportation device. And I thought that was a really interesting way of framing it, because really, I mean, like you said, you did on Fridays, you can so easily just take people into wherever you are and let them experience that and interact with them. And so I think it really, it makes it very easy to connect with fans and audience and ultimately people you're trying to potentially hire.
Yeah, for sure. And can you share as well what you learned from this experience, and also if there were any HR takeaways?
Yeah, I mean, what we learned, we definitely got some things wrong in the broadcast. We didn't know at the time that the broadcasts were only going to be once you kind of show a live broadcast on Periscope, it can then be watched within 24 hours. So if somebody misses the live broadcast, but they're there within 24 hours, they can still see the video. After 24 hours, it's gone. And we didn't know that. So we actually, we kind of positioned, and our intent was we were going to save all of the original tweets that people sent out when their broadcast went live and compile them in a blog post so that people can then, we thought those videos would be accessible and people could watch them. Well, they weren't. And so when we were putting them together, the blog post, we were clicking the links and it was saying broadcast not found. And, then we realized, it's not available. And you can, when you're doing a Periscope broadcast, you can also save the video to your phone in your camera roll, which we had people do as a backup. The problem with that is it doesn't show the chat window coming up, and it doesn't show the heart. So most importantly, since this was kind of an AMA format, the broadcaster was answering questions that were coming in from the chat window. And so if you had that video saved to a camera roll, you can't see those questions. So it's kind of a weird experience to watch that video after the fact. And it wasn't really, we weren't really able to use that. So that was something we got wrong. We didn't realize that. I think another thing that we learned, certainly from an HR standpoint, is we could have done a better job of directing the broadcasters to have a stronger call to action around hiring, specifically kind of sharing some of the open positions they had in each local market. I think that would have been a great opportunity from a recruiting perspective, because as you have local fans watching the local broadcast and they get excited about, the Singapore office or the Sao Paulo office and say, hey, I might want to work there. We didn't really give them any guidance on the kind of positions we were hiring or how they could apply. And I think particularly from an HR standpoint or recruiting standpoint, that was a missed opportunity.
Right. Yeah. Well, it sounds like something you can do. Can you do next time? If there will be a next time.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we'll do, I don't know if it'll be exactly Follow the Sun, but we'll definitely do more global campaigns with Periscope, and, we'll take these learnings into those.
Yeah. And just taking a step back, you mentioned initially that you wanted to promote Hootsuite Live. So I know there's a Twitter handle called Hootsuite Live, and there's a hashtag called Hootsuite Live. How does Hootsuite actually use these?
Yeah, so Hootsuite Life, the Twitter handle is the primary, recruiting and employer branding handle for the HR team. So that was, launched by Ambrosia initially. Now several people kind of manage that. But that's our primary, what I would consider to be kind of HR/recruiting/employer branding handle on Twitter. And we use that to interact with fans. We use that to promote the HR and recruiting team. We use that to participate in, chats and Periscopes and things like this. So that's what that meant. Hootsuite Life is really the kind of anchor employer branding asset, if you will, for Hootsuite, which it's been, you know, out. They've been using it pretty actively for years now. It's one of the earlier kind of company life hashtags that has become fairly common now.
Yeah.
But that's really, it's all employees are empowered to use that. And so whether they're, you know, periscoping or tweeting or posting stuff on Instagram or even Facebook, the volume of that hashtag is massive. And it's all, you know, for the most part, employee-generated content. So again, from a recruiting perspective, it's really easy for us to showcase and show people what the culture at Hootsuite is all about, because we can, you know, share that hashtag. And, you know, we have a link to Hootsuite campaigns URL that actually aggregates all of the content on that hashtag into a branded page and allows us to actually show, you know, prospects or applicants what it's like to work here and kind of the kind of people that they'll be working with. And so that becomes a really authentic and powerful recruiting tool. And I think Hootsuite's probably one of the better examples of kind of using that successfully and also doing it in a way that really all of the employees are truly empowered to contribute.
Yeah, for sure. Can you think of any other companies who have a life hashtag people should check out as well?
You know, NPR Life is one that still has a lot of traction.
Which you
Adobe
started, maybe?
Yeah, I started that. That may have been one of the first life hashtags. I'm not sure the exact chronology. Adobe Life is another. There's another one of the early pioneers. And then you start to see other things like, you know, TripAdvisor has Go TripAdvisor. So you're starting to see other versions of it. Salesforce.com has Dream Job, although Dream Job is a little trickier because other people will just randomly use the hashtag Dream Job. So the volume is a little misleading. It's not all Salesforce content, but I think most major companies these days that are active on social have a whatever life or some variation of that to empower their employees to share their culture.
Yeah, it's a nice indirect sale, if you like. It's not shoving jobs down someone's throat. It's more about showcasing what it's like to work there.
Yeah, and let's face it, I mean, recruiters are biased. We're trying to bring people into our organization. So I can tell a prospect about what our culture is, but it's much more effective, I think, if I can show them, you know, an unfiltered view. Because the reality is that's going to attract some people. It's also going to repel some people. Some people are going to see that and say, you know what, that's not for me. And both of those outcomes are good.
Yeah, for sure. If we look at the social HR space in general, can you think of any other companies doing interesting things?
One of the companies that I've been following for the last, you know, year or so that I think is doing some really innovative stuff is L'Oreal, actually. So they, I saw a live stream presentation that they did at Talent Connect London last year, and they're actually going to be doing one of the keynotes now at Talent Connect in the U.S. this year. And some of the work and campaigns they were doing was just really interesting. I hadn't seen that before. Things like kind of geotagging and putting some sensors near their headquarters and asking prospects to put in an app. So as you're walking or commuting kind of towards the building, you're getting notifications about the company. Or about some of the people you may be meeting with, and just some really innovative things. So that's an organization that that I certainly kind of track and follow some of the stuff they do. SAP continues to innovate. They've had kind of a who's who of people around employer branding involved in their efforts. Like Matthew Jeffrey, who's still there. Will Staney, who was. Aaron's doing great work. Aaron Rector. So they continue to do some interesting stuff. And then TripAdvisor, who I mentioned, I think they're doing some different campaigns that I think are really interesting and also that are very kind of employee-empowered focused. And even Oracle, they're getting into some, you know, Celinda Appleby recently came in as their global head of employer branding. And I'm watching her with a keen eye because she's very talented. And I think that she's going to be bringing some interesting things there.
Great. And if we look at the future, if we look into the Amplify Talent crystal ball, what's going to happen in the next 3 years in the social HR space?
Yeah, I think that I'm curious to see how virtual reality continues to mature. Oculus obviously is getting a lot of buzz. There will be more platforms coming on the market soon. I think if virtual does become fairly mainstream, I think that there could be some really interesting implications for recruiting and hiring with that. I think we're also starting to see, this is something I'm really happy about, a shift in approach around job descriptions, because job descriptions, I think, are as much as I think recruiting has evolved over the last couple of years, and particularly recruiting technology, job descriptions for the most part haven't. You know, they're still very, they're probably one of the least evolved tools that we have in recruiting. And so I'm starting to see more visual job descriptions, more dynamic job descriptions, more video job descriptions, and most importantly, mobile optimized job descriptions as well. So I think that we have, we're still somewhat limited by our ATSs in that evolution. So, hopefully their capabilities will start to evolve more rapidly to allow for this. But I think job descriptions in 3 years, my hope is that they'll look pretty different than they do today.
Right.
Yeah.
Where can people learn more about Social HR and about your work and how can they connect with you?
Yeah, so for me, the best way to connect with me is I'm on LinkedIn. You can follow me on Twitter at ThisIsLars. My company's website is amplifytalent.com, and I do a lot of blogging there as well at amplifytalent.com/blog. And around Social HR, keep an eye on the Hoot HROS hashtag, and that is where we'll be sharing the case studies as well as just kind of ongoing updates from the Hootsuite HR and recruiting teams.
Excellent. Thank you very much for your time today, Lars.
Yeah, Jorgen, I enjoyed it. Thanks for having me on.
Hope you enjoyed this episode, and can you please, please, please get in touch with your feedback, requests for future topics, or just to connect. Our hashtag is SMKnowHow. By the way, do you use Snapchat? Make sure you download our free Snapchat for Brand Marketing Guide. It's available at linkhumans.com. Just click on the resources link at the top of the homepage. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll catch you next time.